And let's go to Ephesians 6, please, as we continue our study. And last week, we saw in the first part of this passage that God wants us to stand, as it says in verse 11, against the wiles of the devil. And last week, we got a better understanding what those wiles are. Anybody remember one of them? There were four for Christians. The wiles of the devil, we talked about them last week. There were four, according to Scripture. Jackie?
One of our thoughts.
Our thought life was one. And anybody remember John?
He said he wants to destroy the word of God.
Deception was another one, exactly. So deception, our thought life, and remember temptation, and then hindering the work of God. Those were his four attacks on Christians. And then, of course, he has also his other mission of blinding the minds of the unsaved. So those, but his wiles for Christians, we talked about them last week. Thought life, deception, trying to lead people astray or make them doubt the word of God. Temptation, obviously, and then hindering the work of God. And those are real. But God says that we're to stand here in verse 11. And then he gives us how to do that, starting in verse 12. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore." Notice how many times the word stand or withstand showed up in verses 11 and 13 and 14. It sounds like we're supposed to do some standing against the devil. That's what it says. So he goes on to say, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So what we see in this passage are the seven things. It's amazing it's a seven. It's not surprising, is it? The seven things that we need if we're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what the passage is about. Standing, standing, standing. Withstand in the evil day. Stand against the wiles of the devil. He referred to them in verse 16 as the fiery darts of the wicked. How do we do that? How do we resist the devil? How do we stand against his wiles? God told us in this passage, and we're going to walk through it together. So let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom. Give us your presence. Give us your guidance. As we look into your word, Lord, may we take this study to heart and make sure, Lord, that we put on the whole armor of God every day, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil as you've commanded us to, that we might be effective servants of our Savior. So meet with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's not that the armor isn't available, but it's that we have to put it on. And that's the key, isn't it? God indwells us. God has given us His Word. God makes available to us all the things that we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we have to take it unto us, as He says in verse 13. We have to put it on. Because we are not wrestling against things that we can touch and see and feel. We're wrestling against things that we can't see or touch or feel. As he told us there, verse 12, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Can't see any of those things. So it's a spiritual war that we're fighting. These wiles that we talked about, the temptation, attacking our thoughts, deception, hindering the work of God, they're all coming from a devil that we can't see. So what he's told us here is in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take it all. Not just bits and pieces. You need it all because you need to be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, verse 14, stand. God wants us to stand. How do we do that? Let's look at it. Verse 14, seven things that we need to put on every day. Number one, the truth. Your loins girt about with the truth. Well, the loincloth that they wore helped protected your tender parts and helped hold all the other armor together. But it's the truth. The truth. Well, we know the truth is God's Word. The Bible says that the truth has the power in our lives to help us serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And when in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what does this mean? Your loins good or bad with the truth? Because later on he tells us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what's the difference between the sword of the Spirit and your loins girt about with the truth? Well, the sword of the Spirit, what we'll talk about in a few moments, God wants us to use that as our offensive weapon to resist the devil, which we're commanded to do in other parts of Scripture. Here we're talking a defensive thing. Here we're talking our loins girt about with the truth. This is part of the armor. Armor is to protect from the darts, right? And the attacks, the wiles of the devil. So here he's not talking about using the word as an offensive weapon. He's talking about using the truth as a defensive weapon, which means that we have to know it so that we're ready when the deception comes, so that we're ready when the devil shoots those darts of doubt like he did at Eve in the Garden of Eden, which means we have a responsibility to expose ourselves to it as much as possible, studying it, memorizing it, meditating it, being in God's house when it's preached and taught. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must make the truth a vital part of our lives so that we're armed and ready. When the deception comes, we know the truth. We're armed. Number 14, breastplate of righteousness. Now the breastplate, of course, protected primarily the heart, but you know, this area where all these vital things are. And what is God telling us? Well, we're already righteous in Jesus. So what does he mean to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, the Bible tells us that we need to live what we are. And that's what Ephesians has been trying to teach us. We're already righteous in Jesus Christ, but God wants us to live righteously, doesn't he? Let's look at a couple of scriptures on this. Go to Romans 6:13. And so what God wants is trying to tell us here is he wants us to live what is already doctrinally true, which is kind of like the basic theme of Ephesians. We're already righteous in Jesus Christ. When we stand before God, we'll be righteous in him, sinless, justified. But in our day-to-day walk, God says we're not ready to face the wiles of the devil if we're not walking in righteousness. Notice Romans 6:13. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your members, your tongue, your hands, your feet, use them as instruments of righteousness. So what's God saying? He's saying that if we're walking in sin, we're not prepared for the wiles of the devil. And we all know this is true. When people backslide, it doesn't happen in one day. It's always a gradual thing. They start walking away from righteousness, walking in more and more sin. The devil, the darts are getting through more. The wiles are getting through. And before you know it, down the track, not in church anymore, not praying anymore, don't care about the things of God, and now God has to get out a big stick, and we know the whole story. We've got to have righteousness. We need to be living what we are. We are righteous in Christ, but are we living righteously? That is the breastplate, is living right. So first in verse 14, thinking right. Philippians 4:8, for example, most of us know that verse, whatsoever things are, and he lists all these things we're to be thinking on. Where do we get those truths? From the Word of God. So he wants us to be thinking right and living right, or we're not ready for the wiles of the devil. Isn't that interesting? That our behavior would have anything to do with it. But it does. Jesus told us that the best way to know his doctrine is to do his doctrine. In John chapter 17. So we start right off with what's our person like? Are we thinking the right things and are we doing the right things? Because if we're not, we're not ready for the wiles of the devil. All right, number 3, verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we know that shoes protect our feet. That's why we wear them. God says that our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. And I believe what God is telling us here is that if we are not prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, then we're not where we need to be in our walk with the Lord. And we are opening ourselves up to the attacks of the devil. We need to be prepared to witness, because that's why we're here. Notice Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's that same gospel of peace. Why is it called that? Another place it's called the gospel of the grace of God. Well, because when a person believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, peace is made between God and man through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not prepared to be a testimony for Jesus Christ, then we're not prepared to face the wiles of the devil. Very interesting. Back to the behavior again. You know, when you think about the armor, you think about, oh, I've got to put this on and put this on. The first three parts of the armor have to do with how are we thinking and how are we acting. Isn't that interesting that our armor is related to that? But it is. Because if we're not living right, if we're not thinking right, then we're not right. And if we're not right, then the devil has an opening. So, truth, thinking right, righteousness, acting right, gospel of peace, being willing to witness when God opens those doors and gives those opportunities. Number 4, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. It's important that we take note of that phrase, above all. God put it there for a reason. That's a pretty amazing statement to put in there when he's talking about the armor of God. These 7 things. He says, above all. So this one must be pretty important. Amen? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Now, faith, what is faith? Well, the Bible tells in Hebrews 11:1, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. Faith is moving forward, believing in and serving a God that we can't see. None of us can see Him with our eyes, but we believe He's real. We believe He saved us. Faith is believing God, essentially. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Think about that word, impossible. You can't please God without faith. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wow. Our faith has the power to overcome the world. That's what God says. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, what's the opposite of faith? Doubt. Look at the Garden of Eden. Where did it all begin? Yea, hath God said? So, the devil wants us to doubt the power of God. He wants us to doubt the Word of God. We've got to believe. Jesus says in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Just put that one little word in there, believing. All things you shall receive, we could say, but what about the believing part? So without faith, the Bible says we're in trouble because it says above all. It's trusting God. That's all faith is. It's believing that our God can do anything and that He will. That's faith. Number 5, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, it's kind of like the righteousness thing. We already have salvation. So how can we put on the helmet of salvation? Well, I believe what God is telling us here is it's one thing to have salvation. It's one thing to live and believe in your salvation. Because there's a whole group of Christians out there who believe you can lose it. Now, how on earth can they put on the helmet of salvation when they think at any moment they could lose it? I believe God, what He's telling us here, He's talking about assurance. This hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that our salvation is secure because we are secure in Him. And if we begin to doubt that, we're in trouble. We've opened ourselves up to the devil. Let's look at a couple verses on this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Apostle Paul here talks about his own helmet of salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Most of us know the hymn that comes from this verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am confident that what I have committed unto Him, He will keep it. He says the same thing in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is the helmet of salvation. What's that helmet do? It protects our head, protects the brain, protects our thoughts. And we talked last week that one of the wiles of the devil is attacking our thought life, right? 2 Corinthians 10:4, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If we doubt our salvation, where do you think those doubts come from? They come from the devil. It's one of the things he does. We know that because we see it in the Garden of Eden. He wants us to doubt. Oh, you're not really saved. And as soon as we doubt our salvation, the helmet's off. And the devil can just do whatever he wants. Because our head isn't protected. All right, number 6 is in verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So far, everything we've read has been defensive. Protective. Right? We had our loins gird. We had our breastplate. We had our shoes, our shield, and our helmet. That's all defensive, protective. Now we have something that's offensive and defensive as well. But the sword of the Spirit, again, which is the Word of God. So there's no question what the sword of the Spirit is. It's the Bible. And we all know, let's go to Hebrews 4:12, that we possess, in possessing God's Word, a sword like no other sword. Look at Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That says that the Bible is powerful enough to discern our thoughts and our intents. It's powerful enough to divide between our soul and spirit. We don't even know where that is, but God's Word does. It's powerful. And God says we need to take the sword of the Spirit. Jesus, of course, is our example. In Matthew 4, where the devil tempted him, All three times that he tempted him, by the way, he tempted him like we talked last week, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life in 1 John chapter 2. Every time he was tempted by the devil, what did he do? It is written, it is written, it is written. And the Bible says in Matthew 4:11, the devil leaveth him. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? Can't even see him. With the sword of the Spirit. So now we see how important verses like Psalm 119:11 are. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The more that we get in here, the sharper our sword is. Because we're ready. To say, no, devil, I hear what you're trying to tell me, but it is written. The sword of the Spirit. And then the seventh, of course, you can't do anything without prayer. Verse 18, praying always. A lot of people, when they're talking about the armor, they don't even go to verse 18. They stop at verse 17. But I would say that prayer is probably an important part of protection from the devil, wouldn't you? Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I've heard people say, and I probably have even said it way in the past, that there's only one offensive weapon in this list, but actually there are two. Because prayer is offensive as well. Because that's something that we put out there. That's a way of coming to God and begging Him for His help. And notice what we're to pray for. He makes it very simple. Always, all prayer, all perseverance for all saints. Interesting. All, and all. Jesus, in Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Live a life of communicating with our Heavenly Father, which we have access to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ, but talk to Him, praying always. And that is the seventh piece of the armor, is our prayer life. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer. Two adjectives there, effectual and fervent. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when we get up in the morning, when we eat lunch, evening and morning at noon, while I pray and cry aloud and He shall hear my voice, we need to be checking ourselves. Am I thinking the right things? Am I living a righteous life? Because I'm commanded to. I'm commanded to live righteously. In Titus 2:12, the Bible says we should live soberly and righteously. Am I willing to share the gospel with lost people when God brings them across my path? Because that's my shoes. Do I truly believe that God can do anything? And that He will. Because that's my shield of faith, above all. Do I believe that my salvation is secure? Do I have on the helmet of salvation? Do I know I'm secure and safe in Jesus Christ? Or does the devil make me doubt that I'm saved? Am I hiding the Word of God in my heart? We should be. Now, it's a lot of work. The older you get, the harder it is. But we're still commanded to do it. And then, am I praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints? Is prayer a natural part of my life? So God told us how to stand against the wiles of the devil, how to withstand in the evil day, how to stand, therefore. He laid it all out for us. We don't have to wonder. God has given us the whole armor of God. Now it's up to us to make sure that we avail ourselves of it every day. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage.